This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Kane in the pipe! Covered by the Saints for a touchdown!
It's your inside pass to everything Saints football.
Jimmy Graham brings it down, and that is a touchdown, New Orleans!
We'll take you to places most fans never go. To practice, to the sideline, to the locker room. Following every twist, turn, and touchdown of the Saints season.
That is going to be a touchdown! Taysom Hill! Taysom TD!
Welcome to Inside Black and Gold.
And that is going to be a touchdown again. And guess who? Mike Thomas.
Now, here are your hosts, Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak.
Oh, baby!
Hello, sports fans. Who dat and what is up? I am Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter and co-host of this here podcast, Inside Black and Gold. I'm coming at you solo today, and we have a lot to go through. So I gave Steve the night off, but not really. He's hosting Sports Talk, and the timing just didn't work out. So we will have Steve back next episode. We're going to be going through a lot more from free agency, but I did want to catch you all up on all of the things that have happened Saints-related over the first few days of free agency. Now I'm recording this on Thursday around 4 p.m., and I'm telling you that because if something happens after 4 p.m., it won't be in here. So don't get mad at me if the Saints make three signings at 7 p.m. on Thursday, because there's nothing I can do about it. All right. And I only say this because we've gotten one-star ratings in the past because of stuff that happened after we recorded. Like, how would you not talk about this? Because that's just how the world works. Sometimes you have to record a podcast and people aren't ready for it. And so here we are. But we're going to go through it. Free agency technically started on Wednesday, but a lot of the moves started rolling in as early as Monday, because that was the legal tampering period. Now, the irony is there is still illegal tampering, which is just tampering, and it's what the Falcons and Eagles are being investigated for right now after the signings of Saquon Barkley and Kirk Cousins suspiciously early in the free agency period. It did not take long. It's kind of wild that you're able to hash out a four-year, $180 million contract within a couple hours of the legal tampering period opening. Almost as if you did something you weren't allowed to do. So that'll be fun to watch, because F the Falcons. But we're going to talk about that a little bit. But I'm going to spend more time talking about the Saints moves. And they have made a few. Emphasis on a few. Because they have not been exciting. And so we're going to get through all of the Saints moves and any Saints players who have gone elsewhere in the first segment. In the second segment, it's going to be our Let's Meet Willie Gay segment. Because we got to chat with Willie Gay on a Zoom call today. He had a lot of interesting things today. He's an interesting guy. You know, he kind of reminds me of Quan Alexander, and he is a self-described kind of juice boy, as Quan Alexander was. And I think, you know, when you look at it, that's kind of what you're trying to get back to if you're the Saints. And I don't think this defense ever fully replaced Quan as that kind of do-it-all linebacker who could play multiple positions and really be kind of an X factor in certain matchups. particularly in the ones where you have to go chase down a mobile quarterback. Because I think that's when you look at how he can impact this defense in ways that they desperately need it. His ability to spy the quarterback and go after him is a big one. So we're going to hear from his interview today. We're going to talk a little more about that. And then in the final segment, we'll kind of look forward, you know, which is the dangerous segment, because I'm going to talk about things that may have changed by the time you listen to this podcast, but we have to do it. So we're going to talk about a couple Saints players that are still free agents that I expect to come back, some Saints players who are visiting other teams, what to think about that, a couple players who have visited the Saints. And then, you know, just talk generally about the Saints strategy this offseason and why it seems even a little bit more boring than normal. But first things first, let's loop back around. What have the Saints done or not done so far? And we have four signings. One happened prior to the free agency period opening. He was a street free agent, so you were able to bring him in. And that's Xander Horvath. He's a fullback, not going to get anyone super excited. But the interesting thing about Xander is I just think he's a bit more versatile as a fullback than the other guy, the other fullback the Saints have re-signed, which is Adam Prentice. And now I think those guys are going to compete in camp. But I do think that in Clint Kubiak's offense, Xander's going to have the inside track. He'll probably keep Adam on the practice squad one way or the other. But I think you just want to get more versatile at the fullback position. And you also have with Xander, a guy who has worked with Derek Foster, the new Saints running backs coach, with the Chargers last season. So, you know, I think that's kind of the theme that you've seen with the players that have been brought in. You're not just bringing in players who you don't know. You're bringing in players that have either worked with a member of the staff or teammates of folks on the team or formerly coached by members of the staff, right? That's a pretty solid theme in the moves that have happened. So we mentioned that Xander Horvath, Adam Prentice, these are minimum deals. They're not mega significant. But the other two, so Willie Gay, who we talked about a little bit, it's a one-year deal worth a maximum of $5 million, not exactly breaking the bank there. I would expect the base of that to be around $3 million, right, with some incentives on the back end. So he really kind of made out clean there. That's a good deal for the Saints, especially this early in free agency. In a lot of instances, you'll see players, you know, if you're talking about a one-year, $3 million or whatever deal, you could have waited on that. He wanted to be here, and so I think that works out for the Saints, so you can kind of get that position that you kind of needed to figure out off the table and at a price point that you can very much stomach. The final signing as of right now that I can report to you, Nathan Peterman. He has been signed as the backup, most likely to the backup. We talked previously, you need a third string quarterback one way or the other in training camp, right? Like, it's not a situation where, you know, I've seen a lot of people looking at this and saying, wow, Jameis Winston left and we replaced Jameis Winston with Nathan Peterman. I don't look at it like that. I look at it almost like you're replacing last year's version of Jake Haener with Nathan Peterman. And by that, I mean the quarterback who doesn't play. The quarterback who's going to be on the practice squad is an emergency option. That's who you're replacing. Because I think that signing, what that signing tells you is, A, you're looking at a guy who's worked with Derek Carr previously, right? He was with the Raiders for two seasons, and he was Derek Carr's teammate. He has worked with new quarterbacks coach Andrew Janoco. Again, this is a theme. You got guys who have connections, right? So he can help. He's familiar with Derek Carr, and he's familiar with the quarterbacks coach, and you kind of bridge that a little bit, I think. Makes a lot of sense. Now, it doesn't mean that you're expecting him to play. In fact, I think that this signing is an indicator that the Saints are very hopeful that Jake Haener can go out there and win that backup job and be the trusted backup. That's what you should be thinking, because you traded up to get this guy in the fourth round last year. So I don't have an issue with that whatsoever. And you'll continue to go on that. But I do think that if you were trying to bring in somebody, if you didn't trust Jake Haener, if you were looking at Jake kind of in the Ian Book mold, you went into year two with Ian Book and you, I think, had already kind of given up on Ian Book, right? And I think if you were looking at Jake Haener in that mold, you would have gone after, I don't know, a Jimmy Garoppolo, somebody who had a bigger, who you trusted, like Andy Dalton, right? Like somebody who, if things went a certain way, you could see them taking over as the starter. That's not what you're doing with Nathan Peterman, right? If you get into a situation where Nathan Peterman is taking reps, meaningful reps, you know, not just like, oh, someone went down with injury and went in, then it's over, right? We don't have to talk about it. Disaster has struck. Like, it's over. So that's not what you're bringing in Nathan Peterman for. You're bringing Nathan Peterman to be a bridge between Derek Carr, Andre Janoco, and kind of the new coaching staff, the new regime. And he's a veteran guy who can help, right? Like, he can work with the quarterbacks, and he's just a valuable guy to have in a room, a six-year veteran who can do that. So don't overreact to the Nathan Peterman name. I think that it's more indicative of that you are confident in Jake Haener and his ability to own that backup job than anything else. So feel good about that. Now, those are the four signings. More has happened aside from that. The first two things being, okay, Michael Thomas and Jameis Winston are your post-June 1 cuts, as we expected. Marcus May has been released, as we expected. So all three of those moves went the way you thought they would. And then there have been a handful of players some that you probably did want to bring back, some that you probably didn't necessarily make much of an effort to bring back. Jameis Winston signed as the backup to Deshaun Watson. So good luck. I love me some Jameis. I hope that he finds his role there. And hey, I hope he gets a chance to start. You know, it's kind of funny because one of the reasons that it didn't make sense for him to come back was, hey, I want to be a starter. And he's not getting that opportunity here. The only chance he could be a starter here would be Derek Carr gets hurt. But even then, I think that this team was ready to give Jake Haener that opportunity. So even in that sense, I don't think it would have made a lot of sense for him to come back. That said, going to Cleveland isn't exactly a winning scenario for that either. But, and this is a big but, what has Deshaun Watson showed you other than the fact that he has a fully guaranteed contract that makes you feel like he has a firm grasp on that job if he were to, say, get hurt and Jameis were to come in and lead that team to the playoffs, kind of like Joe Flacco did, but as a non-37-year-old old dude, right? So, like, in the sense that I think he has a better chance to get meaningful reps, that's a good spot for him. So, you know, I'm rooting for him. Good luck in the cold. Buy a jacket. I know he's a Florida guy, so he's going to be miserable, but he at least get that experience out in the cold 2 years ago with the against the Browns and in that nightmare hellscape of a game. Beyond that, you've also seen Zach Bond sign with the Eagles. You've seen Lonnie Johnson Jr. sign with the Texans, go back to the Texans. He was with the Texans previously, and he kind of tweeted like, hey, I just wanted a second run. He really likes it there. And then Malcolm Roach is going out to Denver to rejoin Sean Payton. And I can say that Zach Bond and Malcolm Roach are both guys that the Saints were interested in bringing back at their price, right? Like, these are guys who you were willing to pay, but you were willing to pay what made sense. And both of those guys, I think, got more money on the open market than you were willing to shell out. And I think that's, again, we've talked about this. I don't know how many times I have to say it. We've talked about this. The Saints set a price. They set what they're willing to pay. They hand it to you, and they say, go see what you can get. And if you come back to this, great. If not, good luck, right? And I get why that's annoying to people, and I get why people can get impatient with that. But that's what you're looking at, and that's what you're doing. And for Zach, I always kind of felt like it was going to be less about the money and more about the vision that a team had for him. Because if I'm Zach Bowen, I am eternally frustrated with the situation I was put into, not because I didn't get an opportunity, but because I never got an opportunity to do what I do the best, which is rush the passer. And you saw that when he was allowed to rush the passer, he impacted games. He had a role. His presence on the roster made sense. So with that in mind, great. Good for him. Hopefully he can make an impact out in Philadelphia. I do question Philadelphia's like player development, because it just seems like they just grab people off of the rosters and say, you're good, let's take you. Oh, you're good, let's take you. They also signed Saquon Barkley, right? So it's just a strange, you know, like they went for DeAndre Swift last year. He had a good year, and then they cut bait. CJ Gardner-Johnson.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
They traded for him. Cut bait. He went to the Lions. They re-signed him this year. CJ had to walk back all of his I hate Philly tweets, right? Because you know CJ's the type of guy who, whenever he leaves a city, he's going to talk shit about that city. even if he doesn't mean it. And now he's back. He'd have to do the same thing for New Orleans if he ever came back to New Orleans. But yeah, Philadelphia confuses the hell out of me. But all right. So those are the moves, right? Nothing particularly surprising, but you know, it does make for some needs, right? I thought Malcolm Roach was an interesting one. I thought, you know, this is a guy who the Saints probably would have been interested in bringing back. He's a very good run defender, but you look at it and say, okay, you have Brian Brzee, Nathan Shepard, Colin Saunders, guys that you either drafted in the first round or are paying reasonable contracts to the point that these are players. These are not guys who you're going to bump down on the rotation. So how much is reasonable to pay your DT4, right? Whatever it is. Like if you're ranking, that's not really how you roll out the defensive tackle position. But if you had a depth chart of just defensive tackle, he would probably be the fourth guy on it. He'd probably back up Colin Saunders, right? Or in a really run-heavy situation, you might throw him in with Colin Saunders. But either way, it's only so many reps, so many snaps. So you can only afford to pay that guy so much. And, you know, it makes sense. He goes and rejoins Sean Payton. Remember, Malcolm Roach was a UDFA who joined the team. I want to say it was in 2020 with Sean Payton as the head coach. So there is a connection there. It does make sense for him to do that. So with all that said, yeah, that is kind of where you are at. And those are the official deals. The Saints have some other opportunities. They can bring in some other guys, obviously. The one other thing that happened since last week that is very notable, and I probably should have hit it earlier in this podcast, but I got out of order here. Ryan Ramczyk has reworked his contract. I think this happened on Tuesday. And why is that significant? Well, that is now the third contract on the books this season where a veteran player that you could have just restructured, right? Ryan, DeMario Davis, Tyrann Mathieu, there was significant cap savings in 2024 that you could have taken advantage of simply by restructuring those players. But as we know, anyone who pays attention to the Saints salary cap, and I get in arguments with people every year where they're like, oh, you just don't get it. And I go, no, I get it. You don't get it. Like, trust me, I know way more about this than I actually ever wanted to. The issue is not that I don't get it. The issue is that you don't get it, at least not to the level to say like anything beyond the same thing you've said to me every year for the last 5 years. Someone was like, oh, they're in cap hell. And so I did this search to see, you know, how long has this one person been saying the Saints are in cap hell? And I got a tweet from like 2018. The Saints have been in cap hell since 2018. And this is a Falcons person. You know what the Falcons haven't done since 2018? Have a winning record. Like we talked like, oh, the Saints only went 9-8. The Falcons have not won more than seven games since the 2017 season. And they are the first set of fans who were going to run out the door screaming, cap hell, cap hell. Well, if the alternative is what they've done, if the alternative is paying a 36-year-old quarterback coming off an Achilles tear, $180 million, $100 million guaranteed, then what are we talking about? What are we talking about here? Anyway, so what Ryan Ramczyk did was not restructure. What Tyrann Mathieu, DeMario Davis did was not restructure. Tyrann Mathieu and DeMario Davis extended their deals 1 year. And in doing so, it took a little less money. You shaved a little money off the top. You guaranteed a bit more on the back end. So the players got their money to a certain extent. And you were also able to save more against the cap than you would have with a typical restructure, which would have really just pushed the cap it down the road. This one is a little bit more holistic, and I think is indicative of the approach they've been taking. Ryan Ramczyk's deal is even different than that, in that they didn't extend Ryan Ramczyk. They actually shaved his contract down to the base for this season, pushed out some of those guarantees, and attached them to incentives for that can be earned back in 2025 and beyond. Now, offensive linemen, there's really no statistics. You know, like it's not dissimilar to Michael Thomas's contract last year, where he could have earned a lot of his money back through incentives if he caught 100 passes, if he caught 1,000 yards. You can do that with wide receivers because there are stats. With offensive linemen, there's no real stats, or at least not any that are kind of concrete and accepted as this is an objective offensive line stat. Really, all you can look at is availability, Pro Bowl, All Pro. It's kind of all you can standardize. So realistically, his 2025 contract, if he's available to play, if he gets through 2024 and his knee is not an issue, which I think the Saints are more confident now. It's what Dennis Allen said at the combine. They're more confident now than they were back at the end of last season. If he can come back and play well in 2024, and he's available for 2025, great. That's a win. If he's not, then the Saints have been able to protect themselves to some extent in terms of the burden that his cap hit will have on them in future seasons. Now, the numbers, I'm not going to throw all the numbers at you. But what that move did, now keep in mind, if they had just restructured that deal and done kind of the standard restructure, you would only have been able to save about $11 million. With the reworked deal, the Saints were able to clear $14 million against the cap this season, which is significant because they had just cleared the cap about $1 million after the DeMario Davis deal restructure. So they went into the first day of free agency with $15 million in cap space. And now that's going to be cut against, you know, the Willie Gay deal, some of these veteran contracts, these minimum contracts. But that's a lot of workable space when you consider they have still not touched the contracts for Alvin Kamara or Taysom Hill. And then you'll end up freeing some more space based on what you do down the line. You'll free up an extra million post June 1 when Jameis comes off the books, et cetera, if you trade Marshawn post June 1, you'll clear a little bit more off the books. You obviously have to sign your draft picks, but that's a workable amount of space to get done what you need to get done, especially playing in the shallow end of the pool the way the Saints have for obvious reasons this offseason. But, you know, you hear all year, how are they possibly going to get around this? How are they possibly going to work through this? Well, one of the ways they were able to do that this year was, you know, I hear a lot about the culture and how the Dennis Allen culture is not the same as the Sean Payton culture. And guys aren't willing to do the same things that they were when Sean was here, and the confidence isn't there. Well, you saw three team leaders, veterans this offseason take team-friendly deals and shave a little bit more of their own compensation off to help the team. You know, that's not a negative thing. And it did help this team clear $87 million in cap overages without sweating much at all. And so, like, we could talk about cap hell. I have no issue with the Saints committing to Tyrann Mathieu, DeMario Davis, and Cam Jordan beyond this season. And they didn't have to commit to Ryan Ramczyk beyond this season any more than they had previously, and were still able to save that cap space. So I guess call it what you want. The Saints are able to manage their cap in ways that allows you to retain your players. And that's the difference, right? That's the biggest difference between how the Saints operate and how a team like the Bills operate. Because you don't have to cut all of your players. You're doing that because you are unwilling to do things differently, right? And teams like the Chargers, who kind of go all in for one season, that's a different scenario. That's why they're cutting Mike Williams and these guys, you know, because they didn't. You have to manage this over a multi-year window and have a plan for how you're going to do it. And if you don't do that, you end up here where you fired your head coach and you have to reset. And that's a problem. And you can make the argument that it means that maybe you'll hang on to a coach longer or players longer than maybe you should. But I would say that typically impatience is not a good thing in the NFL. And so if all you've done is create a barrier that forces you to exercise patience, it's not a bad thing. And it's certainly not worse than going 7-10 for three straight years and firing your head coach, doing everything the right way. So we'll see. But we're still early on in free agency. Saints have several more moves to make, several positions in need. Again, we'll go through that in the back end. This next segment, we're going to talk a lot about Willie Gay, play you a good chunk of that interview from today. Talked to reporters on Zoom. I was on that call, asked him a couple questions. He had a couple interesting answers that I want to go over. So we'll be right back with that. This is Inside Black and Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do that. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff_Nowak. You can follow the show at Saints_Pod. Who dat? We will be right back.